crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
Coming up next is Ecologic right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? We share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, telling where we gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for June 10th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we have good news about the restoration of bison to tribal lands, a scat-sniffing dog protecting orcas, a lawsuit against a banana company, and restoration of sea otters and their effect on an ecosystem.
We try to start every show with good news. Here's something that is not local to us, but captured my imagination and says a lot about the interconnectedness of an ecosystem. I got an email from Environment New Jersey, fundraising, but not with a New Jersey story, one about the Great Plains. The subject line read, an unlikely friendship. And their writers did a good job. My curiosity was piqued. It turns out they were talking about cooperation between two species that could hardly be more different. The national mammal, the bison, and the endangered rusty-patched bumblebee, which in 2017 became the first continental U.S. bumblebee to be listed as endangered. The email noted that in March, the Biden administration committed $25 million to restoration of the bison to tribal lands on the Great Plains. Environment New Jersey made the connection between the species. Bison hooves agitate and break up the grass and soil, helping new plants flourish and making grasslands and entire ecosystems healthier. They eat prairie grasses, making room for more wildflower species to grow. And bison also roll on the ground, creating wallows that gather rainwater and help certain plants thrive. The prairies have been carved into farms, towns, other development, leaving Tallgrass Prairie as just 4% of its original size. And rusty-patched bees have suffered major habitat loss. Expanding native grasses and restoring bison on the prairie will create more habitat for many species, river otters, prairie dogs, dozens of prairie bird species, and pollinators will find more wildflowers with delicious nectar. As we've said about predator species, getting the balance between native plants and animals right makes a healthy home for all.
Last week, we talked about climate change lawsuits in the United States and about Georgia law enforcement's repression of bail fund organizers. Here is a story about an ongoing lawsuit by almost 2,500 families in Colombia against a giant corporation. Banana giant Chiquita has admitted that between 1997 and 2004, it paid almost $2 million to a paramilitary terrorist group that killed thousands of innocent civilians around Chiquita plantations. The company was attempting to limit violence near its plantations. What? By paying to have nonviolent people killed? What logic is that? The company was convicted in a U.S. court and paid a $25 million fine to the government and the families of six American victims, but nothing to the families of the Colombian victims murdered by Chiquita's death squads. For 14 years, instead of assisting the local people whose relatives were murdered, Chiquita has attempted to deny responsibility. Just months ago, the families of eight victims finally won the right to have their case heard in court. We can't help but see parallels between the murders of Berta Caceres in Honduras, Tortuguita in Uilani Forest of Atlanta, the Georgia law enforcement's attacks on Atlanta Solidarity Fund organizers, and this situation in Colombia. You know we're going to be watching the story as it develops.
It is interesting how reporting on a story makes one aware of others that are related. One becomes sensitized to things that might have been overlooked. We mentioned southern resident orcas on our special last Wednesday, and in my email box was a story from Patagonia, narrated by Scott sending Eva the whale dog, who spends her time sailing the Salish Sea around the San Juan Islands on the wild orca research boat with human mom, Dr. Deborah Giles, who's been studying these cetaceans for the University of Washington since 2009. Eva's job is to stand on the bow of the boat, sniffing for orca scat, the most non-invasive method of collecting samples. She can sense scat on the surface up to a mile away. Dr. Giles uses scat samples to detect pregnancies, measure stress levels, identify contaminants, assess diet, and generally learn what's affecting the southern resident population. She says, finding one poop sample is like finding a gold mine. Eva was found as a stray in Sacramento, and Dr. Giles enrolled her in a training program that teaches dogs to locate scat from endangered animals. Scent detection is Eva's great skill. She has detected more than 100 scat samples. There are just 73 South resident orcas, and Dr. Giles and the university are using data collected to advocate for science-based policies that help restore orca populations and their ecosystems. I have to mention where I found that story. I've been a fan of the Patagonia company for years, and their latest newsletter had this story. Why? It turns out that a local Warnwear Patagonia repair team made a puffy coat for Eva from recycled Patagonia garb. Dennis Tuzinovic, who learned about wild orcas' work through Patagonia's grants program, said, "There's something romantic about it. These coats used to keep people warm. Now they keep Eva warm while she's doing important work. That's my definition of a win-win."
Oh, yeah. And here is the California band Sparks singing, "Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth."
listen to my
was Sparks singing Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth. Sally brought to our attention an article in Science News magazine about the effects the restoration of sea otters along Vancouver Island is having on plants, especially kelp, invertebrates such as crabs, fish such as salmon, and indigenous people living on the Pacific coast. It made me think of the reintroduction of the wolf to the Yellowstone ecosystem and how that restored forests, lakes, and rivers beyond the expectation of the most ardent wolf supporters. There's videos on YouTube. Wolves changed the feeding habits of elk and deer, so they moved around more, which enabled many plants to grow and reproduce that the deer and elk had been eating as soon as they appeared above ground. That, in turn, increased populations of bushes, trees, butterflies, birds, and even beavers and fish such as trout. The ecosystem of the country's oldest national park had been missing its keystone species and became a healthier ecosystem when the wolf was restored. Nature was back in balance. Nearly every species benefited, except maybe for coyote, which are no longer welcome in the park by the wolves. The elk and deer populations were only slightly smaller, but we're much healthier because the wolves took out the sickest individuals. But we were talking about sea otters. What do wolves have to do with sea otters? Sea otters are a top predator in kelp forests, mostly eating the sea urchins, crabs, and other invertebrates that eat kelp. When people started killing sea otters for their fur in the 18th and 19th centuries, nearly wiping them out, the shellfish population boomed, and the underwater kelp forests went into a steady decline, along with the fish and other animals that relied on the kelp. But indigenous communities along the coast found enough shellfish that they could switch from fishing to the business of shellfish. When the sea otters were getting restored, no indigenous communities were consulted. No attention was paid to how their livelihoods would be affected and what would be the best way to restore the sea otters.
Eventually, the ecosystem will reach an equilibrium. Kelp forests are already growing back. This is already helping salmon and lingcod and various animals that rely on kelp forests and hurting the indigenous shellfish business. There would still be enough shellfish for food, but not a surplus to sell. Predators cannot deplete any part of their environment unless the environment is highly damaged already. If they eliminated their prey, they would not survive. Predators balance an ecosystem. There would still be shellfish, but now there will also be finfish. When people become the major predator, they are the problem, not the natural predators. Normally, natural predators take what they need and improve their prey species by taking out the weakest individuals of that species. Humans take more than what they need. They take more to sell. A report in the journal Science suggests that sea otter's presence yields more than one-third more total ecosystem biomass annually, increasing the value of finfish, carbon sequestration, and ecotourism. To the extent that these benefits are realized, they will exceed the annual loss to invertebrate fisheries by tens of millions of dollars. To quote the Science Journal article, as keystone species, top predators can exert strong effects over the function, structure, and diversity of ecosystems. When these species recover after extirpation, they often reestablish top-down control and shift the ecosystem closer to an exploited state. This can disrupt social ecological systems established during the species' absence and lead to conflict between the recovering predator and established human resource users.
When otters enable the return of kelp forests, there is a beneficial effect for some finfish species, such as salmon, which also have historically been a resource for indigenous communities. But it is complicated. It can be difficult to compare the clear loss of shellfish stock revenue to the more diffuse benefits of having more kelp fish and sea otters. And it is easy to focus on the negative. However, there are many factors, biological, economic, cultural, and social. A study that puts such things in monetary terms does have the advantage of creating a common language, but it is bound to fail to capture deep-seated emotional and cultural factors. One factor that can play a part in economic restoration is tourism. People will pay to snap photos of adorable otters snoozing on beds of kelp. Though as any resident of a popular vacation destination knows, tourism is a double-edged sword. Enthusiastic tourists can ruin the very place that they love so much. As in everything, it's all about balance.
And here is Celtic Thunder's version of A Place in the Choir, which many of you might have heard Pete Seeger sing.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on a telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got. Now, all God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on a telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got. Now,
listen to the top where the little bird sings, and the melodies and the high notes ringing, and the hood owl cries over everything, and the blackbird disagrees.
Singing in the nighttime, singing in the day, when the little duck quacks and he's on his way, and the otter hasn't got much to say, and the porcupine talks to himself.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got now.
Dogs and the cats, they tick up the middle, where the honeybee hums and the cricket fiddles, with the donkey brays and the pony neighs, the old great badger sighs.
Listen to the bass, it's a one on the bottom, where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with the big to-do, and the old cow just goes moo.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got now. Song, a little song everywhere, by the ox and the fox and the grizzly bear, the dopey alligator and the hawk above, the sly old weasel and the turtle dove. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud. Clap their hands, a pause, or anything they got now. All God's creatures got a place in the choir.
That was A Place in the Choir by Celtic Thunder. Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein.
Ken Gale is with us also.
Okay.
Climate deniers are saying that the only reason for the Canadian wildfire is arson, just as they did when the California wildfire started. The global warming part of climate change has made the forests drier, and that is why they're spreading so easily. There have been fire warning conditions in New York and New England for a while now.
Right.
Now, we love to share with you. We can find many of our programs as premiums on ecologic.wbi.org. Leave off the www. You are so important to our continuing on the air, so we make these premiums with you in mind to thank you for listening and donating to WBAI in the name of Ecologic. Really, we are grateful, and judging from those of you who share with Ken, Sally, and I when we meet, you are grateful to us as well. Hey, there's a lot of love here. One way to show you care is to give a little hello in the form of a donation in the name of Ecologic to WBAI. Not everyone can give a lot of money. I know that is not easy for people in this day and age, but everyone can give something. That reminds me of how we ask people to do other forms of activism. Just do something. Remember, supporting listener-supported radio is also doing something. Do something, give something, all of the above. It's all important. And please accept our thanks in advance. Thank you.
You are listening to Ecologic here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. How are you doing with the smoky air? Eastern folks are now experiencing what Western folks have been experiencing every summer for several years, smoke from wildfires. I hear corporate news radio mentioning the smoke, but not the source of it. The global warming part of climate change is still seemingly prohibited on mainstream radio and television, surely for fear of upsetting advertisers who can threaten to remove thousands of dollars of advertising. A network weatherman told our dear departed weather contributor that he was not allowed to talk about climate change. That's what corporate news is like.
That's what artist Bernie told us when he was on. He was taken off his popular radio program in the South when he said something critical of the sponsors after being told to go easy on them. That is why we need listener support, so that we cannot be constrained by profit motives.
That's not an issue here on WBAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you. Did you make a donation during our recent fund drive? We hope so, but if not, it's not too late. It's never too late. WBAI has elections coming up, and a donation of at least $25 by June 30th will enable your vote. We really do. You need and your vote during elections. They really do make a difference.
Yeah, what other radio stations let you vote for things at the station? You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts that they don't hear. You have facts that they don't have. You know about events they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it, and please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic, please.
DVDs or our Celebration of Nature series are available as premiums with donations to WBAI, including last week's feature replay of Nature for All, a.k.a. Birding While Black, for a $40 donation to WBAI. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
The other day I was talking to one of my friends, and she commented that she had recently rediscovered WBAI. We have such a great history. Some of us have been listening for decades, not always consistently, but we come back and find more good programs. Some of them are old favorites. Ecologic has been on WBAI for 21 years. Some new programs, new hosts, and topics help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please consider supporting us with a donation today to let us know you are listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by credit or debit card or mail in a check. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbi.org. No WW there.
Ecologic has brought so many important programs to you over the years. We and WBAI continue to bring you great content only because of the support of listeners like you. And we have to ask you for your help. Or how will you know what we need? Ecologic brings you actions you can take, rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars, it's all important. Not all of us can get to remote actions, we know, but there are many ways to support, and that includes supporting WBAI and Ecologic so that we can continue to bring you activists, journalists, eyewitnesses, and more, along with environmental music and artists. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. That's always important. We got to make sure we ask you for that. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We call out bad actions, celebrate positive steps. We watch for actions to back up statements and call out empty rhetoric and greenwashing. Support us. We really hope that you will help WBAI and the Pacifica Network. You are hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Annual membership in WBAI is just $25. So join us as a voting member, or even better, as a sustaining BAI buddy for $10 a month, or whatever you can spare. It can be set up through your credit card or bank account to be automatic. If that's not right for you now, then just make any donation today is like a little hello that lets us know you're listening, that you care about Ecologic and BAI. Support your show. Call now, 212-209-2950, or go to givetowbai.org.
A note on the People versus Fossil Fuels email list pointed out that, as extensive as the Canadian wildfires are in every province, it's early in the season, and boreal forests have been shaped by fire for millennia. We'll have more next week. But coming up in a few minutes is our interview with our guests Dan Riesel and Gareth Hokum on the recent Supreme Court disastrous decision weakening the Clean Water Act. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
We hope you took advantage. Hold on a second. Of the opportunity to get 24 hours of WBAI programming on the best of BAI shows and favorite host thumb drive during the recent two-week fund drive. It still can be yours with a $99 donation. Call now, 212-209-2950, or go to givetowbai.org.
If you hear a show coming on that you've heard before, please don't tune to another station. Go on the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and links to hear them.
I was at a rally recently and was telling a couple about Ecologic, and they asked me what radio station it was on. When I told them WBAI, they said, "Of course, where else would you find a radio show like that?" That has resonated with me ever since. Only on a listener-supported radio station would something like Ecologic exist, or almost any other WBAI show for that matter. All other radio stations take fossil fuel money, even college radio and other public stations. Ecologic has the freedom to criticize the fossil fuel industry because they can't threaten to remove their advertising because we don't have their advertising. We have you. And the more of you there are donating, the more freedom we have. Membership to WBAI is merely $25, and we have premiums to give you if you donate more than that. For $40, we'll give you the video version of the radio show we played last week that was turned into a video by Charlie Olson of Environment TV, Nature for All. For $99, we'll give you the best of BAI shows and favorite hosts, Thumb Drive, including that Nature for All video, as well as 23 more hours of great WBAI programs. Call 212-209-2950 or go to givetowbai.org.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. WBAI and Ecologic cover New York City stories, but also state and national issues. They are usually connected. What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It is the air we breathe and the water we drink and the creatures with whom we share this planet. Indigenous folks acknowledge them all as relatives. From Joe Manchin's Mountain Valley Pipeline dirty deal, appallingly signed by President Biden, despite environmentalists rallying across the country demanding it be stopped, to the wildfires in Canada exacerbated by the climate crisis and causing unprecedented pollution over a wide swath of the country and New York's worst air quality in 21 years, to the ongoing vigilance needed to protest the dumping of radioactive waste into the Hudson River by Holtec, to Cup City and the Ohio derailment, we bring experts to help us determine how we determine how federal, state, and local decisions intersect. We interview activists and advocates fighting the bad decisions and working to get good policies passed. Let us know that you appreciate our reporting by calling 212-209-2950 or going to give2wbai.org or ecologic.wbai.org and making a donation, or signing up as a sustaining BIA buddy in the name of Ecologic.
We hope you enjoyed last week's visit with Chris and Drew and want to have it for yourself with Charlie's video editing of beautiful bird pictures, along with the news clips that from that show and all the other material on the Best of BAI thumb drive, our clips and music and about 24 hours worth of programming from many WBAI hosts to enjoy whatever you want, all for a donation of $99. Call 212-209-2950.
Ecologic serves you and the community with many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We don't take corporate donations, which is why you are so important to us.
Hey, how did you like this week's story about Eva the whale dog? Wasn't that a great story? WBAI brings you the best scat-sniffing stories. From monarch butterflies on Ken's head to falcons and a hawk on New York City roofs, we try to keep you guessing on what's next, but always with solid information so you can learn something new every week.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, and more. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
I've been hosting Ecologic on BAI for almost 21 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors, just as Charlie Olson did with the Nature for All episode you heard last Saturday. On the website, ecologic.wbai.org, we have more than 25 items from which you can choose. They make great gifts as well as treats for yourself. Or maybe you can find just $10 or more to be a sustaining BAI buddy, or both. But any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check to or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you want. You can find all our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org. Leave off the www.
And now you'll hear from our guests, Dan and Gareth. Welcome, both of you. Please introduce yourself, Dan. Dan?
We were told Dan's on the line. All right, Gareth, when you want to introduce yourself first.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, I'm on the line. So my name is Gareth Hoffman. I'm with an organization called Hudson Valley Stream Conservancy, and we work in the New York area on water pollution and fish migration, primarily.
And Danny, with us yet? Okay, well then, Gareth, you have plenty of information. So now we keep hearing that the Supreme Court, you know, messed up the Clean Water Act. And what kind of case did they get that allowed them to do that?
And they're not. This case is not the first. The Clean Water Act, ever since it was introduced or brought into law in 1972, has been on a roller coaster of both political and judicial. It's been basically a political football. This time around, there was a case. It's called the Sackett case. A family by the name of Sackett bought land some 15 years ago or so on the side of a lake, and much of it was wetland. And they decided they wanted to build a house there, so they started to fill in the wetland with soil so that they could build on it. They were stopped by the Army Corps of Engineers, saying they were in violation of the Clean Water Act, and they went to court. As it wound its way through the courts and finally found its way to the Supreme Court, 2 weeks ago, they won, essentially. And in this case, the Supreme Court said that in cases where a wetland, such as that on the Sackett's property, is isolated from navigable waters of the U.S., that the Clean Water Act does not apply. So this was a lake, apparently without a stream that would connect it to a, you know, traditionally considered waters of the U.S. navigable, larger river kind of system. So it was always, over the years, the issue of isolated wetlands has been in flux, how the Clean Water Act would be interpreted for these. It's gone back and forth, and it, over the years, the protections of this under the Clean Water Act have been whittled down, and this is yet one more cut to it, and it's an important cut. So, essentially, let me explain exactly what it does. This
please do.
Final definition. Yeah. So, in cases like I mentioned, where a wetland is isolated, that is, it doesn't have a stream running from it to a navigable river. The Supreme Court said if there is not a continuous surface water connection that is essentially obvious, then it, the Clean Water Act no longer protects it. So it doesn't matter if this wetland is connected to a major river via groundwater. It could be very close. Previously, any wetland that was adjacent to a navigable river was counted. But now, unless there is a surface water connection, you can imagine that you could essentially take like a canoe from the wetland in question to a navigable water. Unless you can do that, then it is no longer protected. So this is sort of the second time this has happened to so-called isolated wetlands, but this was a very major hit to it. To give you a sense of the impact, according to Earth Justice, which is an environmental law firm, this decision, the Sackett decision, will prevent EPA protection or federal protection from 118 million acres of wetlands, which is about the size of California.
Wow.
And these wetlands are, very important to larger systems. They provide a lot of eco services to human beings. So this is a big loss for the country, I think, and for global health. But it's a big win for business and, private ownership. So that's always been the struggle, right, between these things.
Is the Safe Drinking Water Act, is it affected by this ruling at all?
So I am not a lawyer. Dan, who I think is on the line somewhere,
yeah,
is
I,
a,
I'm back on.
Okay.
I can answer that better than I could.
Well, Dan, introduce yourself first now that we know you're here.
Oh, okay. So I'm Dan Rizal. I'm a member of Scythe Padgett and Rizal, which is an environmental law firm. I think we've been around the longest of any such entity. We are involved on any particular day, it seems, in issues that resemble those of that the Sacketts encountered, and I'll answer your question about the Safe Drinking Water Act. This does not directly affect the Safe Drinking Water Act. Safe Drinking Water Act regulates the purity of water produced by drinking water authorities, such as the water districts. But, you know, as Gareth was explaining in a very excellent way, we're talking about the health of our rivers and streams, which contribute to, in an indirect way, to the tap water that we have access to. And, of course, you know, wetlands improve the quality of water in those traditional navigable waters.
So the groundwater aspect that Gareth mentioned is a very key to the link between the Clean Water Act and the Safe Drinking Water Act, right?
Indirectly, you can make that nexus. I mean, you know, because we're ecologists, we tend to think that everything is connected, which in a sense is true.
Right. Yeah, everything is certainly connected. I just wonder what's going to happen when the water that the Sacketts filled in, which no longer has a place to go, is going to flood into the house they just built. And I'm sure they'll go to the government for help for that, too, connecting
the fact. They'll put in four sump pumps in the basement and use a lot of energy to run those.
Yeah, and you know, if there's too much rain, the sump pumps will be overloaded.
Everything is connected, and certainly this concept that the Sackett case deals with, has greater implications than just filling in the wetlands in your backyard. The Sacketts, you know, were fairly sympathetic plaintiffs, and they were represented by a very conservative public interest group, the Pacific Legal Foundation. Just goes to show what pro bono activism can do. In this case, not particularly beneficial to the environment. So
it comes down to property rights versus commons, in a sense, also, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I think you put your finger on it, because when you look at Judge Alito's decision, which was the majority decision, what he really says is that, you know, when you look at property rights and water rights, these are traditionally states' rights, and Congress has got to speak. He invented a new concept. Congress has to speak exceedingly clear, and when they trench on those rights. So in the terms of in the language that Justice Kagan used in the concurring opinion, the court put its thumb on the scale in favor of landowners and polluting landowners.
In favor of polluting landowners. So everybody else gets to suffer because they want to pollute their water.
So what do we as environmentalists do?
Yeah, that was my question. What's the next thing that we can do, Dan? What are our possible alternatives? Well, it's already the Supreme Court. What I'm thinking is maybe on the state levels there are laws that can be passed to overcome at least locally.
Yeah, you're right. So states regulate waters that are not the traditional navigable waters of the United States, as Gareth was explaining. And in New York, we're fortunate to have a fairly stringent regulation of wetlands, both tidal wetlands and freshwater wetlands. And that's going, and the DEC is going to strengthen those protections. But in many states, there are little or no protection afforded by state law. So what we're really talking about, because of SACCET, there is this issue of whether we really are freeing up a vast amount of wetlands. And somebody estimated this, and I have no way of verifying it, but that's 90 million acres. I don't know, Gareth, you might speak to that. And, that will be unprotected or unshielded from development. And like the SACCETs, everybody wants to have a room with a view. So you want to fill in land next to water bodies. So it is a real threat. And what we can do, you know, for example, I had proposed to an organization that I'm a member of, Clearwater, that we look at, even in New York, we do a survey. We look at waters that are being uncovered, unprotected because of the SACCET decision.
Gareth, you can talk to why wetlands are even important. Why should we care about wetlands? How and we kind of know that. We know that they protect the where everybody's living. They protect the rest of the non-wetlands. Gareth, why don't you talk to that?
Yeah, so wetlands are, historically much aligned, much maligned, I'm sorry. Now they are largely invisible to us, but they play a very important backroom role in keeping our waters clean. And flood control is one of the major ecosystem services that they provide. And that's especially important now that with climate change, we're getting, much more water in our storms and hurricanes. Even the FEMA flood maps are having to be changed as a result of that. So they play an important role there. They also, as Dan mentioned, they play an important role in water purification or, roughly filtering. There's both a physical filtering process and a chemical bacterial process goes on. Really behind the scenes, bacteria, good bacteria in wetlands, in what's called hydric soil, take nitrogen that is from biological sources like sewage that, might be in the streams and making it and coming off of land, and converts it to nitrogen gas. And that's a good thing. So it just goes, nitrogen gas goes into the air. Whereas if it's in the biological form and gets out into, larger systems like our ocean or the Gulf of Mexico and so forth, you get eutrophication, dissolved oxygen goes down, et cetera. So very important role chemically. Not to mention habitat for animals.
Boy, this time is going very fast. Last comments, Dan, and then Gareth. What would you like to make sure that our listeners know? Dan?
I'm a lawyer and I deal with facts, but there is a political implication of SACCET. And what you really see is the majority of the court cutting back on federal regulation. And where you will see that, and that you can see that in the last month's decision in the West Virginia power plant case. And what you can see is that the court, the majority of the court, is going to try to restrict the EPA's authority to manage the environment. That's a serious problem.
Wow.
Gareth?
Only that, you know, this decision shows how vulnerable protections for our environment are, despite, you know, this critical time we're in for the environment. And I urge everyone to take action, even at the local municipal level. Municipalities can enact regulations themselves, which are much more stringent than, you know, even the Clean Water Act in its best days. And so I urge you to reach out to your local and regional, leadership to enact laws that that protect our environment, especially our wetlands and waterways.
Thank you. Well, now it's time to wrap up. Boy, this time went fast. So yeah. Thanks for joining us this morning. For more information, you can go to www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org. In addition to an archive of our past shows, we have information on a variety of environmental topics. I must say that I don't think we added this, that I am pleased to say that both Gareth and Dan are also board of director members like myself with Clearwater.
And for more information, Dan, how do listeners contact you?
I have a website, the Sive Paget and Rizal website, and Rizal is Sive, S-I-V-E, Paget, P-A-G-E-T, and Rizal, R-I-E-S-E-L.
And Gareth?
I can be reached through our website, the website of the Hudson Valley Stream Conservancy, a nonprofit of which I'm president. And that website is www.streamconservancy.org, just as one word, streamconservancy.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
And join us next Saturday, June 17th. Check our website for details. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Gareth.
This has been a big week for rallies. In New Jersey, from Wednesday, May 31st in Woodbridge to Monday, June 5th in Newark, Empower New Jersey-led environmentalists in a series of demonstrations protesting Governor Murphy's inaction on stopping new fossil fuel projects. In New York, on Tuesday, June 6th, Food and Water Watch sponsored a rally in Albany to support the bills to stop Holtec's dumping of radioactive wastewater in the Hudson River. Today at noon, there is a rally in Long Branch, New Jersey, supporting offshore wind. Meanwhile, we learned that a Chinese environmental nonprofit group sued TEPCO in Japan over planned release of wastewater from Fukushima Daiichi, and the community around San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station was notified of a planned release of radioactive wastewater there.
We're a little late on both counts, but we want to congratulate Hackensack Riverkeeper for being back on Main Street in Hackensack a bit more than 3 years after the fire that devastated their office in March 2020. They completed their building swap and as of mid-May are in new offices at 206 Main. Their website remains the same, HackensackRiverkeeper.org.
A church in East Rockaway, Nassau County, Long Island, is still helping people recovering from Hurricane Sandy, among other things, and I will be appearing at a comic book convention to raise money for them. It's next Saturday, June 17th at Bethany Church, 100 Main Street in East Rockaway, Nassau County, all day. That's June 17th. Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. WBAI is community radio, and there's lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen, the engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
So if you missed the beginning of the show, it will be on the WBAI archives in 5 or 10 minutes. Our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rose. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Saturday, June 17th, or find us on the archives. Check our website for details.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
station dedicated to and sponsored by its listeners. From 1960 to present day, WBAI has been promoting an innovative perspective of news, public affairs, music, arts, health, and science. In order to provide a truly unique voice to New York City, WBAI receives its financial assistance from listeners like you. To help WBAI continue this tradition, you can become a BAI buddy by giving a generous monthly donation of as little as $10. It's a safe, secure, and simple way to support your local station. To become a BAI buddy, go to give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org.
Extinction Diaries. Almost every coral reef on the planet is disappearing. Coral reefs may be the most diverse ecosystems in the world. Polyps are the animals that build reefs that range from large colonies to small solitary organisms. There are thousands of species, mostly in warm, shallow waters, but also in deep, colder waters. Coral is called the rainforests of the ocean, and 1/4 of all fish depend on them for habitat and food. So far, scientists know several reasons for the dying. Global warming is raising the temperature of the oceans as the oceans absorb more and more carbon dioxide. This creates a more acidic ocean that literally burns away the coral polyp. This is also true for shellfish, shrimp, krill, and even planktons. Another factor is pesticides being released into the oceans from rivers that absorb the pesticides from agriculture and all other pesticide use. Scientists are warning us now that over 90% of coral could be gone forever by 2030. The warning is clear. If we lose the coral, we could quickly see the end of most ocean life and humans could swiftly follow. My name is Rising Moon, and this is a Small World production.
I believe that we have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM. We're broadcast and streamed at WBAI.com.